Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, your host for today's session of Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Deborah Morrell, with Anderson Direct Marketing. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Deanna. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited. I know we're going to get a lot of great information out to our listeners today. And our topic today is how to become a modern-day marketing marvel. And I know quite a bit about your background. I definitely consider you to be a marketing marvel with, you know, 15 years and more of experience in the marketing industry. I'm sure you have a lot of stories and changes that you've seen that are really going to inspire us and help us. So I'm going to dive right in with my first question. How do companies and business owners today stay in tune with the needs of their customers? I mean, our world is so fast-paced and so changing, you know, rapidly. How do we do it?
Well, I think what's most important is really to understand who your customer is and why they buy from you versus your competition. I think that we really need to listen to what they have to say. It really helps hypothesize about why you get certain customers versus your competition. To ask them questions. I mean, you have opportunities every day to interact with your customers. Ask them questions about why they chose you versus someone else. And then validate what you hear with other customers to make sure that it's really the broad reason why customers choose to do business with you versus others. I think that the one thing that I find very interesting is when I sit down with a new customer and ask them about their competition, there's a lot of times where they don't know who it is. So say that you have a string of pizza parlors. And I ask you, you say, well, everyone eats pizza. Well, that might be true, but are you a takeout? Are you an eat-in? Do you encourage kids to be a part of, you know, to actually come and enjoy your restaurant? Those types of things actually help you really identify and understand who your target customer is. And then make sure that you're actually delivering the best experience for them. Because marketing these days is no longer just about getting customers to come to you in your store. It's also about delivering the best experience and delivering on your promise so that they come back and that they talk about you so that other customers come and enjoy your offering as well.
Excellent. I couldn't have said it better. So let me ask you, when you say be aware and ask, why are they using you? What's the competition doing? Why do you think so many professionals don't go that extra step? I mean, I know that, you know, some, the ones that are really doing great are honing in on that and others aren't. Why do you think we miss that piece sometimes?
I think we become so passionate about our business and what we think we deliver that we forget to ask customers actually what we deliver. I know that sounds kind of silly, but a lot of times marketing is inside out instead of outside in. So say, for instance, you start talking about all the great features and benefits of your product, but really you haven't listened to your customers to understand what they value the most. You really need to do that because that's where you get the hidden nuggets of messaging that actually connects with your customers when you do broad outreach.
I love the idea, inside out versus outside in. That's fabulous. So do you think that with the social media that we have, the big push around, everybody's in social media, the importance of social media, how does that play a part in doing just that, reaching and developing relationships potentially with clients, but really understanding how they feel about what you do in your business?
Well, social media is great because it's a way for you to connect to a broader audience through advocates that you may already have. It also can be very difficult to deal with if you have a customer experience issue. So, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Our customers are in control, and they have more power than they've ever had before. They have the power to talk to other to people that they know and influence people that they know about your business offering, and then they also have the power to make your job really difficult. If they have a poor experience and they talk about it in social media, it takes a lot of effort to actually turn that around. So I look at marketing as the end-to-end experience from the time someone raises their hand and says, yes, I'm interested in your product, to the time you deliver on your promise of what you're going to deliver to them, and actually they come away with a great experience because it's so important, again, that you deliver on your promise, make sure your customers get what they have asked for, and talk about that experience in social media because it's free advertising.
So do you think, you know, I struggle with the idea, is social marketing good or bad for us? Does it make our jobs easier or harder? And the fact that our consumers are so much more knowledgeable and they have so much more information at their fingertips today than they did 10, 20 years ago, you know, now they, a lot of it, they can do their own research. They can look at what other people are offering. Do you think that it is helping us, the technology, or do you think it's making it harder for us to market and really show what the extra bells and whistles are that we offer with our services?
You know, it's really kind of a double-edged sword. Again, depending on your customer experience, it could go either way. I think you have to put yourself in the shoes of your consumer. Have you ever gone and bought a big ticket item without going and looking at the reviews? I don't think many of us haven't done that. And what other people say about your product is just absolutely so important. And in that case, obviously, you just really need to make sure that you're delivering on what your customers are looking for. On the flip side, my daughter had a very poor experience with a landscaper, and she used social media to get that message out too. And going back to the most important things that a customer can actually have a takeaway from your experience is that you kind of a say-do ratio. You said you were going to do this, and you actually did it, and the outcome was a great experience. And when you don't have one, then obviously it has a big negative impact.
Well, say-do ratio. I'm writing that one down. That is awesome. Perfect, perfect. So let me ask you a little bit about this. When you're dealing, you meet a new client, you develop the prospect, you start to identify some of the needs, you ask the right questions. When you develop a plan, an actual proposal, what are some of the key elements that you make sure every marketing proposal has for that person?
Well, the first thing you want to do is make sure that they understood you really listen to them and you understand what their needs are. I think it's very, very important to recap a conversation, make sure that you have a complete understanding of what their challenges are. And I also think it's a great idea to put a couple of ideas out there how you might help them solve those problems. I think that's the way I approach it. And then obviously talk a little bit about why your organization is the best partner for them to solve those issues. And if you can ever use case studies as examples of how you actually solved it for other customers, it's very powerful.
Great. Case studies, wonderful. I know you and I have talked before, and the idea of being able to educate through stories and real-life examples really connects with people. So when you talk about case studies, I think that's so important. I think so many of us have a tendency sometimes to talk about what we do instead of what we've done. Look at how we've and helped, proved, and provided service in other areas. So that's such a great example. Tell me a little bit about your background. I know has been direct marketing. How do you feel that direct marketing may or may not play a role in the future? Do you think that that's going to continue to be one of the strongest and best use of someone's investment dollar for marketing a business, or do you think things are starting to change?
Well, I guess part of it is the way you think about direct marketing. I mean, direct marketing is speaking direct to a customer. So direct marketing is everything from DRTV to direct mail to email marketing to targeted social campaigns, anything that can be measured. So at Anderson, we help our customers connect to a better ROI. So everything that we do is attached to a metric. So say, for example, let's use online advertising, for example. You might have a cost per acquisition, a cost for a new customer of, say, $50, just to pull a number out of my hat. And for direct mail, the cost might be different. It might be lower, it might be higher. But it's a way to actually understand where you're getting the biggest bang for your buck. And so when I think about direct marketing, it's kind of an art and science, right? Direct marketing is getting the right message to your customer at the right time, but it's also measurable. And so I think direct marketing will always be part of the marketing mix. I don't know how you would actually be able to validate getting incremental budget if you didn't have metrics that you were using.
Okay. And talk to me about direct mail versus nowadays the email piece and the technology piece. Do you see companies continuing to use direct mailing hard copy pieces, or do you see them shying away from that? Or does it depend on maybe the service or business that they run?
I think it depends on the business and also depends on where a customer is in the awareness consideration set. We find direct mail is, in some industries, is very, very effective for driving acquisition. In other industries, it might be more effective to actually drive acquisition through online because you're going to get a lower cost per acquisition in certain industries. But direct mail, when it comes to reaching customers about very targeted messaging, it's a great medium to use. I will say over the years, I've seen a shift to be more focused on kind of online and social media, but I would say in no way is direct mail going away. It's still a very important element of your marketing mix. You just need to make sure that your cost per acquisition or cost per upsell or cross-sell makes sense with your budget and that you're leveraging your marketing dollars so that they actually do the best work.
Got it. You know, it's interesting because, you know, being a consumer in the world, I come home, I pull my mail out, and you talk about certain industries, and I definitely see the direct mail piece coming out from certain industries, like insurance industries, you know, whether it be car insurance, life insurance, you know, different things, where other industries a lot less. So I find that to be very interesting that, you know, it definitely does make a difference depending on the type of service that they offer.
Well, consider healthcare. I'm sorry, Deanna, excuse me.
No, please, go, yes.
Consider healthcare. You know, we've got this new healthcare initiative, and there's so many companies that are vying for that individual healthcare insurance premium. We're actually doing a lot of direct mail with our healthcare customers because it's confusing, and you need more space to talk about your offer and why you're differentiated versus the other competitors that are out there. So that would be a great example of when direct mail would be, you know, something that would be really important. For more of an impulse purchase, maybe online advertising would be the best medium, something where it's a more kind of a quick hit, emotional, something that's very catchy that you want to reach someone. But obviously, just putting something out there in online advertising, which is, you know, we've got the best prescription plans, et cetera, that may not catch your attention. But if you had something that was more comprehensive, you need to have a comprehensive overview of an offering, you would need more space to do it in. And in that case, direct mail would be a great medium for that.
Got it. Excellent. Great example. Thank you for that. Tell me, I once heard that when it comes to marketing, it's all about your reach and your consistency. Do you find that to be true? And if so, is there a magic number? You know, gosh, you know, if a business really wants to see the best return, it needs to be 3 touches a month or 10 touches a month. And I'm guessing you're going to tell me it depends on the business, but... With that being said, talk to me about reach and consistency. Is that true? And what's kind of, you know, what do you think the most important pieces to it are?
Well, Deanna, you're right. My answer would be it depends on the industry. But I think that what's most important is you need to be in front of your customers when they're looking or when they have a need. So let's say, for example, say you have a car repair shop, for example, or and so you know your customers are going to need, say you sell tires, and you know your customers are going to need tires every, say, year or 18 months. Well, it would be appropriate to stay in touch with them when that time period is coming up. So maybe you start communicating to them a year later. That's not to say you don't want to communicate them in the meantime. Let them know that obviously they can come in for free air checks, et cetera. But you really want to focus in when you think that they're going to have a need so that you're top of mind. That would be a great example. Just one.
So tell me, and I'm thinking on that because I love it. And part of the marketing services that something like your company offers, is it also about the research behind it? Or where do, let's say I have a business and I want that kind of data, where do I go to get that kind of information?
Well, there's a lot of places that you can go to get research. I mean, you can work with an agency that can help you identify what research would be most important, like go through a compare, you know, through an agency like us, or go directly to Compare Media or one of the research firms or Forrester Research, depending on the size of your organization. That would be one place to go. Another place would be to actually do your own independent research. It could either be qualitative or quantitative research to really understand what's important to your customers. But there is a wealth of information. You just need to really go out and research. You need to go out and find that information.
And I would suppose that this is when that technology question turns out to be a very positive thing for us. I'm sure that, you know, you sit in front of a Google computer long enough and you can find all kinds of good things. So, excellent. Well, I'm going to pause us just for a moment right here because we're going to take a real quick commercial break to recognize our sponsors.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Deanna. I just want to recognize some of our wonderful sponsors in Connected Women of Influence, and they sponsor us for our Women Leading the Way radio. Our first sponsor is The Pulse, live with Cindy Matalucci. And The Pulse is an amazing company that does event coverage and video marketing with a twist, an interview style. So if any of you are interested in looking at The Pulse, their website is thepulsesd.com. And another one of our sponsors is Barron Center. And what Barron Center does is they're a unique company of nationally recognized experts with very specialized skills. From the standpoint of transforming organizations, training executives and employees, they do a broad spectrum of human behavior training in the workplace, and their kind of focus is enhancing team performance, whether it's intervening in threats of violence, they provide resources to be able to see companies perform and exceed. And that is our sponsors for today. So back to our show.
Welcome back to our show today, which is Sassy Sales and Business Development. I'm your host, Deanna Potter, and we're talking with Deb Morrell, and Deb was just sharing a wonderful wealth of information and some great how-tos on how to become a marketing marvel in today's modern world. So one of the biggest questions I always hear people ask, it's a little like the chicken before the egg, what comes first, the marketing or the relationship when it comes to acquiring new clients?
It's a really interesting question. I recently spoke to a group of college graduates, and I asked the room for anyone. I said, which of you are marketers? And I asked them to raise their hand. And the reason I did that is because I expected that very few would, and I think maybe 10% of the audience did raise their hand and said they were marketers. And I told them that, you know, every one of you is a marketer in this organization because you've got to go out and find a job. And it's all about what you have to offer to your customers. And I really take that approach. If you think about marketing versus relationship, they work so closely together. If you're a brand new company and you're starting out, what's the first thing you do? You go out and talk to people that you know. You leverage relationships that you have. It's the same thing as you start to grow. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about social media and how you leverage those relationships you have with your customers. So the broader your base gets, the more you can leverage. We're talking about traditional marketing. I think the one thing that I find so sad, especially with smaller businesses when they get going, is when times get tough, marketing always gets cut. And that's like cutting off your legs because you really need, it's kind of saying, okay, I'm not going to go and sell anymore. Because that's what marketing is. It's all about selling. It's about getting your message out there, letting people know what you have to offer. And so it's a difficult question when it comes to marketing a relationship because I think that I don't think it's an either or. I think it's hand in hand.
You know, I love that because I almost, you gave me a visual there as you were talking of almost this wheel where it just keeps spinning and it keeps connecting. You know, you build a relationship, you market to the relationship. The marketing brings in hopefully that relationship again or new relationships. And it really is just a constant cycle. So it's such a great visual with what you were saying. You said something, and I just want to make sure I'm clear, and I'm sure that maybe others that are listening in might just want to make sure we are understanding. When you say the term traditional marketing, define for me exactly what you mean by traditional marketing.
I didn't realize I said that, but that's so. When I think about, again, and this goes back to your question about how things have changed over time, marketing hasn't changed per se. The tactics that we use have changed. Marketing is still about identifying the right target, giving them the right message, and delivering it to them at the time when they're most in need. So that hasn't changed. But when I think of traditional marketing, I think TV, radio, direct mail, and then obviously moving into in more new marketing, mobile advertising, social marketing, email marketing. Email's not that new anymore, but you can see how things have changed over time. You're still delivering the same, it's still marketing 101, still right customer, right message at the right time, but you're just delivering it through different means than maybe you haven't in the past. So you need to make sure that your marketing plan is diverse enough to incorporate all medias and be where your customers are when they're, say they're online or say they're in social media. It's just really important to be there when they're there.
Got it. So you mentioned the term marketing plan. What do you believe the most critical elements of an effective marketing plan are?
I think it's really important to know what you stand for. What I mean, and that's a funny thing, funny question, but again, when I'm working with new customers, I ask them, what is your mission statement? What do you stand for? I also ask them to be specific about their target customer. I have a lot of customers that tell me, well, everyone can use our product. But it's really important to understand specifically who your customer is. That's not to say that you won't reach customers that are outside of that narrow target, but it gives you a place to play where you can actually differentiate yourself and come up with a value proposition that maybe your competitors can't compete with as well. I think the other thing is you need a commitment to market your business. We talked a little bit earlier about how marketing, whenever there's budget cuts, it seems that it's always into the marketing area, and because it's a number that you can actually just cut right out of your budget. But you need to stay top of mind, especially if you're busy. Say you're busy this month, but you've got a anywhere from a 2 to 6 month sales cycle for your customers. If you don't continue to market over the next few months, you could end up in a hole in your sales goals, say 3-4 months down the line. So consistency is extremely important.
Got it. One of the things that we were talking about earlier was obviously knowing your customer and asking the right questions about, you know, why are you hiring me? Why do you work with me? All those things. And do you find that, that when you're creating a marketing piece, that it is, what percentage of it is benefit driven versus establishing credibility or reputation for the company? Do you understand what I mean by that? I'm wondering, you know, do they want to know what we know, or do they just want to know what we can do for them?
I think that that depends on which state of the business or where the business is in its development. If you've got a very, say you've got a highly recognizable brand. I used to work for Intuit, so I worked on the TurboTax product. I'll just throw that out there. That comes with credibility. So now you can start talking about actually the benefits. If you have a new business, say that a new business or something relatively undeveloped, and there's a lot, again, going back to healthcare, there's a lot of brands that are coming up now that don't have that credibility, you kind of have to work harder to make sure that you have that you develop that credibility and that trust with those customers. Sometimes it's a matter of getting the right credentials. And what I mean, obviously, healthcare, there's lots of credentials and lots of regulations that you have to follow. But why should I choose one brand over another brand? You need to make me feel comfortable that you are equal or better than the other companies that I'm considering for you to even be part of my consideration set.
Great. So as you know, Women Leading the Way Radio is sponsored by Connected Women of Influence, and we are about empowering, educating, and inspiring women professionals. But we operate in a world with men, and we love men. We do. We think that it's wonderful that, you know, we get to collaborate and all those things. But we also talk a little bit about the fact that sometimes there can be some differences in the professional world when women and men are operating, contributing, and being part of a team. In the marketing industry, do you believe that there are, that the creative ideas or the efforts of men and women are equally valued?
I do. I actually do. I think the thing that's interesting, though, is the way we present those ideas. So what I mean by that is women have we're very expressive, and we're very passionate about what we do and the ideas that we come up with. But sometimes we don't go to the extra effort to build a really strong business case for why someone should consider the idea and move it from simply an idea to really smart business plan, something you should incorporate into your marketing plan. And so I think that some of this approach, I mean, there are obviously a lot of women that actually do that, but I think sometimes we do ourselves a little bit of a disservice by not going through the extra effort of putting the numbers against the idea and really build a solid business plan that can't be disputed or considered as subjective. I think that we can be much more effective marketers and actually business leaders by taking that extra step on a consistent basis.
What's your opinion as to why a lot of the time we don't do that as women? What do you think that is?
Well, we're just smart. No, I'm just... I don't know. I think that it's a learned skill. I will tell you that I've always been very... I have a lot of ideas, and I'm really passionate about them, and I can get the idea across and help people get excited about it behind me. But at my last company that I worked with, if I didn't have the nuts and bolts behind it, it went nowhere. And there's nothing more frustrating than having a great idea and not being able to sell it to the people that can make the decisions and bring it to life. And it's just so important to actually be fulfilled in your own work, is to make sure that you can actually influence other people and make sure that they buy in to kind of what you're selling. And I think the other thing that's really important for women, too, is to consider consider others' points of view. So say that you do have a great idea, you have a great business business plan behind it, but you have to be willing to let an idea go or actually build upon it to have a better idea and be okay with it not being entirely yours. So I think those, again, are a couple of skills that you tend to learn as you start to interact with, say, upper management and larger corporations, that an idea can be even stronger if you put more heads together to make it something that can come to life.
You know, we've had a lot of discussions among some of our panels, our forums over the year about, do we as women take things a little too personally and are men better at just kind of letting it go? And I think you're speaking a little bit to that. It's about the greater good, about the idea of really taking life and being the best it can be versus us kind of getting a little bit too maybe emotionally attached to what we're pitching. So that's great input. So I hate that we're starting to run out of time here, and I want to make sure that I give the listeners the opportunity, just in case they may want to reach out to you after the show, how would you like them to be able to contact you if they have any questions or comments?
I think the best way to do it is via email, and I do have a signature card on my email, so you'll have my contact information. My email is dmorel, M-O-R-E-L, at Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, DM for directmarketing.com. You can reach me there, and I will respond to any questions that you might have, and I hope that have some insightful things that you've taken away from our conversation today.
Well, I have an absolute list of inside-outside marketing, being in front of when they're looking to buy, using case studies. I mean, so many wonderful things, and I can't thank you enough, Deb. You make my job as a host very easy, and we are very honored to have you with us today, so I thank you. And for those of us, those of you listening in today, that is our show for today. Again, I hope that you will join us in the future for other episodes and editions of our radio show. And the next Monday morning will be another Women Leading the Way radio show. I am your petite powerhouse, Deanna Potter, and I hope that you all have a fabulous week. And I thank you so much for listening. Go forward and be prosperous. Thank you, everyone.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.